From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome aboard. You are tuned in to Open Journal. It is Monday, October 12th, 2020, Indigenous Peoples Day and Columbus Day, and our first day in the October fall membership drive for KPFT. Wow, all of that. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I am Stephanie Coleman. So glad to be here. Amazing how the time passes. And this week we'll be visiting with comedian Rob Mungall. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love your opinions, your thoughts, and suggestions. You can reach out to us and start that conversation via Twitter with the hashtag KPFTOJ or Facebook, Open Journal. Old school, email still works, openjournal@kpft.org. And feel free to subscribe to our podcast, KPFTOJ.
Happy to have you tuned into Open Journal, joining us on this edition this evening. Thank you so very much for joining us. Thanks for being part of the solution. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. It's been about 7 months since COVID-19 was declared a pandemic and our lives changed. With everything that's happened since then, has it been possible to find humor amid our everyday troubles? Comedian Rob Mungall is with us again this evening to shed some light on how he's handling the situation and maybe pass on some tips about keeping our sense of humor sharp during these dark days. The Reverend Robert L. Mungall is a professional touring comedian and anime voice actor with over 200 film credits. He is a native Houstonian and the founder of The Whiskey Brothers, a wildly popular troupe of comedians who perform a twice-weekly podcast heard by thousands each week. Rob Mungall, good to see you virtually.
Good to see you.
And welcome back to Open Journal.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Good to be back. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on this special In Exile edition, Rob. So first off, what's on your mind these days? Here it is, virtual Indigenous Peoples Day, Columbus Day, early voting eve, COVID.
I'm looking forward to voting. I think at this time, everybody is – I know I'm – burnt out, especially on political ads I see on the news every night. They are becoming increasingly tiresome. Even people on my, the ones that I root for, the ones I would vote for, even though it's, look at those ads every night. It's like, if you don't vote for this particular person, there'll either be anarchy in the streets from Antifa or all the hospitals in the world will be shut down. I don't understand the use of ads now. If you don't have your mind made up by now, what is a 30-second ad going to do for you? I don't get it. And they're incessant, and it's just over and over. And I'm ready for it to be done, and I'm ready to vote, and I'm ready to move on and get into a new phase in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
It is amazing that marketing and that exhaustion, I don't know if it's like a holiday Christmas sale in some way.
Yeah. There must be some research that says it pays off, I guess. Otherwise, they wouldn't spend millions of dollars doing it.
Yeah.
But to me, it just seems it's over and it's just pounding and it's just nonsense. The ads are, especially the ones from third-party groups that aren't even associated with the people, just the ridiculousness of it.
Yeah.
The whole enterprise has wearied me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get it over with. Let's just vote already.
Right, that should be the campaign. We should just tell everyone just vote.
Yeah, just be done with it. Yeah, be done with it.
Yeah,
I enjoyed last week's debate. I'm going to vote for Biden. That's obvious. There's no other option. But it's not my first choice, certainly. Mm-hmm. Not even my fifth or sixth. But it'll do in a pinch. Yeah. You know, he's the last good looking girl in the bar at 2 a.m. So I'll take it. but watching last week, the debates between the vice president and the would-be vice president, it was, to me, it was like watching a Sunday school teacher and a former prosecutor try to describe to each other which is less like Antifa. Right. And it was just nonsensical. Yeah. And then the fly landing on the guy's head was the topper of it all. And that was just literally the cherry on top.
Yeah. For me. Yeah, you couldn't make that moment up, right?
No.
You do anime, so you add voices to characters. So put yourself in the character of either the fly or Pence's head just for a moment. And what was Mike Pence? What could he have been thinking? Like, don't move, act like it's not there. Don't reach up. Or did he have such a layer of shellac up there that it landed?
The only thing I can imagine is he was wondering why the four people from his campaign were behind the camera going like this to him.
Right.
Like, what does this mean? What am I not thinking right? What's going on? But that fly was probably, he thought, well, this smells normal. Yeah. I know what I'm doing here. I won't say what he usually lands on.
Right.
It rhymes with bullwhip.
Well, thanks for saving our editor, Susan.
Yeah.
No
problem.
Extra work, Pacifica.
That's what I wish. I mean, if I was running for office and I was debating Trump, they would have to have the debates on either Showtime or HBO. Because it would be impossible for me not to tell him in many ways to go blank himself. He's like, I just wanted to reach over at some point and say, do you really think the president has the ability to add people to the Supreme Court? Because that's not how it works. That's not even remotely how it works. And by the way, if you could, you, Trump, would have already done it and put 20 Sunday school teachers on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-numbing.
It is.
There is a process constitutionally where the Supreme Court size can be changed. It was once 150 years ago to bring it to its current state. FDR, mm-hmm. in the midst of the Great Depression in the 30s, attempted to do what they're accusing Biden of already doing, which is court packing. That's another big fear switch that's being whipped on people.
Yeah, but it can't just with a – it has to go through. The Congress has to approve it.
There's and a it whole huge process. Yeah.
You just can't wave a magic wand and suddenly there's, 13 BLM members on the Supreme Court. It just doesn't work that way.
Exactly. And
would be great.
Even though Roosevelt had an awful lot of power and a lot of Congress on his side, he wasn't able to do that. It's not.
And he famously said to, in contradiction to most Republicans today, what they think, that he wanted people who wouldn't legislate from the bench. And he was a Democrat, as socialist as they ever get as a president. And that's what he was saying. He didn't want people legislating from the bench.
Yeah.
Ironically, that's what he was trying to load the court with. Mm-hmm. People who would do nothing, which is great. I mean, sure.
We are in a strange time, aren't we? It's like some alternate universe with all the things that are, you couldn't have convinced anyone of this place 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Oh, you could have me. I saw this coming. I predicted all this. I said, it's going to be worse than you could possibly imagine. And when you talk to people and you see, I mean, even Republicans, they know Trump is a piece of garbage. Mm. And they just blow it off. It's like, what are you going to do? He does the things we want.
Right.
And if that's the best you can hope for, that your own party thinks you're a garbage human being and that they're just endure you to get a few things done that they want.
Right.
That is not a recipe for reelection. I'm sorry. I mean, we were all fooled last time, but I just, for the life of me, cannot believe who would happily walk in there and vote for this scumbag one more time. I just don't get it.
When you talk about laughing at him, the country seems to be becoming a laughable place.
Well, it's the kind of laugh you get when you're having a nervous breakdown. It's not the laughter of joy. It's a laughter. Okay, it's going to be okay. Yeah, yeah, everything's going to be fine. No, it's not the same kind of laughter.
Right, it's when you're tight in a row.
Yeah, when you're bouncing off the walls, that kind of laughter, which isn't the fun kind. But I've always said that, I said this 3 years ago, that if they wanted to hire a game show host, they should have got Bob Barker to run for president. At least he knows what the price of Rice-A-Rooney is. There's no way Donald Trump does.
Right. How's it going?
Dollar
well, a bet. I got one more for you if you like that one. Donald Trump is not I'm sick of hearing about how great a businessman he is. We've all learned from the taxes that got released that he's an idiot when it comes to business. He's not a good businessman. And I said this 3-4 years ago, that he went broke trying to sell gambling, stakes, and football to Americans, and he couldn't get that right. So don't tell me that this guy knows what he's talking about business-wise.
So you can almost give those away, right? Those
are, yeah.
That's a guarantee.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Rob, I was driving out on the west side last week on a little visit out to my father out near Memorial City, and I decided to take a kind of a roundabout way from the Montrose area, and I went out through the villages. So I got to go through some real Tony parts of town.
Sure.
And of course, I saw a lot of the signs I expected to see, because there's an expectation that a lot of the folks living in the more toity parts of town are going to be spouting
fascists.
That's a sign, perhaps, in their yard. As I was making my way over there near like Bunker Hill and I-10, I was counting the number of signs, and I saw actually like one Biden sign for about every fourth Trump sign. But the one that I was really pleased to see, I'd not seen this one before, was a big blue sign that said Republicans against Trump.
Yeah.
Man, I want one of those. I'm not a Republican, but I'm going to go stick it in my dad's yard.
Yeah. It should be Republicans against Trump, AKA a human being.
Yeah. So, I'm sure you're not even thinking about the world we live in should the numbers go in his favor.
Yeah. That's the most terrifying thing. If he doesn't have to run for re-election, that's what people they've said, what if he wins? It's like, well, if he wins, what's he going to do? He's driven the car into the ditch already. What are you now? You're going to just set fire to it? There's nothing that I don't know what else he could do apart from 3 more Supreme Court judges dying. Any more damage? I don't know what else could go wrong. Yeah. And I think that might be some of what's going through the minds of voters. There, and even Republicans, like you say, Republicans and Trump, like, we've got the most we're going to get out of this guy, and let's just move on. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that's working in Biden's favor is that in the last few months, he has done the trick that I think was any Democrat was going to have a struggle with. And that is just making some Republicans feel, okay, I can vote for him. If he's president, things will be all bad. You know? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, even though they paint him out to be this guy who wants to defund the police and there's going to be riots in the streets if Joe Biden is elected, which is the most nonsensical thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, this is a guy who has a love affair with corporate interests and the insurance companies, and to think that he's going to move the needle even an inch towards socialism is laughable to me.
Yeah. It's amazing, though, because when he walks into the office, he's going to be the one who receives the brunt of the responsibility for where the economy will be post-Trump. So
I've said this for years and years. If you use the analogy to a self-driving car, if that's what the economy is, the president has very little to do with it. Mm-hmm. Obama didn't have much to do with it. this guy doesn't have anything to do with it. It's a self-driving car. The president can change the spark plugs, give it a different paint job. Mm-hmm. You know, the engine, the transmission, and the braking system of this economy is the Federal Reserve. They are the straw that stirs the drink. Mm-hmm. And even when Trump has put the most lunatic people in charge of things, from Betsy DeVos on down. But anytime, when he tried to put some of those lunatics on the Federal Reserve, the grown-ups in the Republican Party said, "Oh, well, no, wait a minute, you're messing with the chili now." I mean, you want to put a guy, you want to put an oil executive in charge of logging? Sure, that's fine. We'll let you do that all day. But when you start messing with the money stuff, that's when we're going to pull the reins back.
Right.
And so when anybody says Biden's going to do this or that to the economy, no, he's not. For one, he's a fan of Wall Street. And two, he's a fan of the medical insurance company. So I don't worry a lick that anything's going to go right or left. You could put a communist in the president, a literal communist as president, and it will not change the way the economy runs. And the depth and breadth of this economy and the way it's spread out, the diversity of it, and the size, one person as president can't do a whole lot. That's my point. Mm. Yeah. To either to the benefit or to the sadness of it. But.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're tuned to Open Journal on KPFT Pacifica Radio 90.1 FM in Houston. Thank you for joining us. We're visiting with local comedian, man about town, and comedian in exile, Reverend of the Whiskey Brothers. Right. Rob Mungall.
Go ahead and vote for Biden. It's not going to change a thing. How's that?
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your support. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I am Stephanie Coleman. You know, as we try and make our way through this thing that is now called life and finding some sort of balance and perspective with it, how do you, I don't know what we'll do. Trump has become, our current elected system or individuals have become the brunt of so many jokes. I think it's going to take some readjusting should not be in office. What are some other things that you do to keep humor in your life? Or do you virtually watch other comedians? Or
I can't watch comedy to save my life.
Really?
I have friends I watch. I enjoy watching them, but as a source of entertainment, I don't find it. I look at it like this way, like Hemingway. When Hemingway was asked by someone to critique a book that they had written and asked for his thoughts, and I'm the same opinion, so I will hate it. And he said, I will hate it. Either one, because it's bad writing, or two, it's good and I didn't think of it. So I'm of the same opinion, you know. So I don't actually get any joy from watching it. I grew up watching it, and the things I enjoyed back in the past I can revisit, but new stuff I don't really have any time for.
That is
so
hilarious.
Rob, as you were sharing your opinions on the power of the president to impact the economy, a little tickler in the back of my brain was bringing up the ghost of Bill Hicks talking about what it would be like when someone is elected president and they think they're going to do this and it's going to be that way. And then that first day in the office, they get taken by the Secret Service behind the dark curtains into the other room. And there's the smoke-filled room. They say, sit down. They show the incoming president some angles you've never seen before of Dealey Plaza and the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
Turn the lights back up on and say, so what's your agenda?
Right. Yeah. That was a great bit. Oh, I love that. I saw him do that. And one of my favorite lines, like, and they show you a film of the Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. That's the topper for me. I love that.
What's my agenda?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what my agenda is. We need to move more toothpaste. he had a great tag for that too. When he said, I forget now how it was worded, but he convinced that it was, the CIA had sent pigeons to watch, to look for people to prevent the shooting. And he knew this because they were seen walking around town the day before going, coo, coo, coo.
Funny.
He was brilliant. He's a guy. Well, we could use a guy like him at times like this, that's for sure.
Amen to that.
Yeah, we missed that voice.
Yeah. Houston legend, yeah.
Eddie Van Halen died last week, and I told my friends they are fast running out of performers that I'll pay to watch. There's nobody I want to see anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of paying to watch, when do you think people are going to be able to perform live again? When are you going to get out of your man cave?
Well, I've done a few things. There's some places that are socially. We did some outdoor shows, and there's a couple of places that are doing. Like I'm actually going to be appearing at the Improv on Sunday.
Awesome!
They're back up and running.
That's
great. Tickets available at improvhouston.com. Anyway, but they are running at like 30% capacity, socially distanced, that sort of thing, mask required. I don't think we're going to get to a normal. I don't think a music show will be around until February or March at the earliest, and I don't even know what that's going to look like.
Yeah,
and big time concerts, sort of at the Toyota Center and size like that. I've talked to people in the industry and they don't think it's going to come back. The big major shows won't be back until July, August of next year, if not later than that.
Sounds hard to imagine.
Yeah. Until we get a vaccine or some other way to get this in line, there's really no way to do it. And, you know, you wait and see. Who knows what sports will look like next year, too. We'll see.
Yeah. So have you been, as you look at this new energy, have you been in front of some people? Is it the same audience that you had before? Do you have a new audience from your podcast?
The podcast certainly helps. I mean, we have fans just of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I have fans from who come to my shows thinking I'm going to do anime voices for an hour, and that's not going to happen. They're like, yeah, you didn't talk anything about anime. Like, I don't know anything. I just do the voices and leave.
That's funny.
Yeah. And so, but I've noticed, certainly when we started back, the first show I did was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. And the first one back, there was just this joy to be out amongst the audience. And they were also very thankful to be out to do anything, to get some sense of normalcy back. Mm-hmm. And so that was a different energy that you usually get. And it was certainly a smaller crowd. And I still see a bit of that now in the stuff we've done. But you see people longing for something, even if it's a nostalgia of what it used to be or a appreciation of the new normal, whatever that is, you just see it's a different energy. And I haven't had a bad one yet. We did a show, the first one back, and there was actually a heckler. And I said, you've been locked up in your house for 6 months and this is the best that you can come up with. You had 6 months to work on these heckle lines and that's it.
He is a little rusty.
Yeah. I mean, go to an open mic and work on that. Work on your heckling there for a month and then come back to the pro shows.
That is amazing.
You worked all that time. You wanted to come out, have a live show just so you can yell.
Oh, there you go. Excellent. Hey, so Rob Mungle, we're gonna get back into this conversation in just a moment, but first it is time for us to pause and share the Open Journal song of the week. This past week we all mourned the passing of Houston native Johnny Nash, one of the first artists to bring kind of a reggae flavor to mainstream U.S. audiences. Recording artist and actor since the 50s. He peaked commercially in the late 1960s, early 70s for kind of reggae flavored hits, including the signature tune I Can See Clearly Now. And he died, as I said, here in Houston last week at the age of 80. We've got to do it. We've got to share it with you. You probably have heard it a lot recently, but there's no time like the present. And, you know, after the times that we've been through, the times we're going through, after that, even that VP debate, I can see clearly now is a song with a message I think we need to hear. It's the Open Journal Song of the Week.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. I think I can make it now.
Was I Can See Clearly Now by Johnny Nash, Open Journal's Song of the Week. If you want to suggest a local artist or tune, just reach out to us on the socials or old school us, openjournal@kpft.org. It's time for us to kind of put a little gas in the tank for the Open Journal program here. This month of October is fall membership time for all community radio stations, public radio, needs an infusion of your support. This station now well into its 51st year in community service along the Upper Texas Gulf Coast. Give us a call, 713-526-5738, 526-KPFT. Let us know you're there, you care, you got something to spare, you're willing to share to keep us on the air, because that's only fair.
That is only fair. And I can see clearly now too, Dwayne. I think hopefully our listeners can see that we really do care about both their well-being and their knowledge, and that we are here to provide both of those, and that doesn't matter how big or how small, to be a part of this KPFT family as both listeners and contributors, any donation would be welcomed. You can even pay it over time. Mm-hmm. It's definitely.
I do a monthly thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that could go really
far. Many of us do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, $5 a month, $10 a month, $12.50 a month would be really sweet. That's $150 over the course of a year. That essentially makes you the underwriter of one whole edition of Open Journal, believe it or not. Mm. So thanks to those of you who have done that. And if you call that number, 526 Jam KPFT, 713-526-5738 is 713-JAM-KPFT, 526 KPFT. That $150 could score you a KPFT Peace hoodie. It's good. It's been cool some of these mornings recently.
It has
winter. Been. Winter is coming. And that's not just a line from some Netflix thing or whatever. But the Peace hoodie is pretty styling. Heavy duty cotton with a zipper front. Peace logo on it. KPFT's Peace logo, not the chicken foot Peace logo. So you could score one of those or some really great live recorded music that only KPFT has, like the 1984 Juneteenth Blues Festival, the entire 3-day experience, 10 artists, 10 hours on a thumb drive or a box of CDs if you want it. There's a lot more. You could talk to the folks on the phone line. They'll run through this little prize catalog of tchotchkes and gym cracks and gee-gaws and mugs and caps and T-shirts and tote bags and all that good stuff if you want that. But honestly, the best thing we could ever give you isn't any of those things, though they're great. The best thing we could ever give you, you got it when you first found KPFT and stuck around and listened to something because it was compelling, whether it was a song, a conversation, or whatever. So thanks for being there. Thanks for supporting it, doing what you can. Visa, Discover, American Express, MasterCard, cash, check, money order, electronic funds transfer, credit, debit, you name it. We can do it all, but you got to make the call. So do that right now, please.
Indeed. We'll be listening. You won't be able to hear Maverick on this pledge drive, but it doesn't mean that we're not having special ringing noises in the other room.
There's some ringing in my ears, but, you know, that's a whole nother issue.
We're working on that.
I think I've had that since, I don't know, 3.5 years ago.
Right. But we definitely, it does miss some of the charm of just being able to walk into the studio. But that studio and that building has been standing for this many years because one pledge at a time. Mm-hmm. And so definitely.
And what's that number?
That number is, Duane.
713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
Sorry, I wasn't right. ready for that one.
Well, thank you so much for your support. We're trying to raise $800 this hour. We'll thank you next week once we get your names sent to us from the folks at Pledge Central. They'll be able to let us know who's there and who cares. And thanks to those of you who have done that in the past to allow us to be here in the present. And those of you listening now who are going to take us into that future, we can only do this together with your support. So give us a call, 713-526-KPFT, 713-JAM-KPFT. Very easy. Thank you. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. I'm struggling with the very easy, but very glad to be here. Very glad to be speaking with Rob, who is a friend of Open Journal. And really, it has been a pleasure. And it has been too long when you think about how it's going. And we're glad to hear that you're back out there, that Houston is receding and responding, and that people are sort of back to, at least hoping to get back to normal.
Yeah. It's a slow trickle, I think. I know the bars, for the most part, are still not supposed to be open, and that's probably the last thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've just now reopened this week. Yeah, I haven't made it out there yet. I don't feel like getting that tight. I know Judge Lena Hidalgo's saying, hey, Houston, we don't want to be the next crime scene.
Right. I know it's, we'll see. I don't know. And it's certainly not, that's what, like when we do shows at the Improv, people are all separated and whatnot, and everybody has to change microphones. And when they go up, so there's people are doing the best. And I think it took shutting down pretty much the whole world for people to get to a place where, okay, a mask isn't such a bad thing. Right. Eating outside isn't such a bad thing. If we'd have told everybody back in February, listen, you have to wear a mask everywhere you go, and they're going to say, no, screw you. I'm not doing that. This isn't China or whatever. Yeah. And so I think it took the extreme measures for them people to come back and say, okay, this isn't so I can live with wearing a mask and sitting outside and sitting 6 feet away and doing that. And hopefully people will.
Yeah. Do you think there's been some, I mean, like you said, there has been some healthy in some ways that have come out of this pandemic, the slowing down, the idea that obviously we have.
Oh, I'll tell you, when this first happened, traffic was amazing. I loved it.
Oh yeah.
I went from Katy to Galveston or to Clear Lake in maybe an hour. And you can't do that in the middle of the night. And this is in the middle of the afternoon. And I told somebody, you know, this the lack of traffic back when this started, it made it possible to take Corona from Katy to Galveston in less than 2 hours. And that's really what you're looking for in a pandemic. Right. The ease of transmission across county lines, you know.
Those little rogue carrying agents in the car, right?
Like, yeah, this is funny. I'm actually in the vaccine trial right now. I'm in one of them. So I'm a guinea pig as we speak. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's amazing to see. I think Baylor, are you with Baylor? Is that what?
No, okay. I'm not allowed which one to say, but I am in one.
I didn't get it at all.
I can't tell you which one I am. You can't tell us whether you're getting a placebo or
you're getting the real deal, right? Or, yeah.
I don't know. They wouldn't tell me. Yeah. So I might. And I might be a superhero or I might be nothing. You know?
Well, you might end up a super mutant.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that's what they said. When they go through those testing, you have to answer all these questions and we get paid a certain amount of money every time we come in there. Mm-hmm. And so they said, well, if you, cause they want people who aren't going to be cloistered inside a house. Right. They want people who are kind of, they're like, will you go to a grocery store? Will you be out in public where you have a chance of catching it? And that's the people they want. And I said, yeah, I go to the grocery store. I'm fine, whatever. But they said, well, if you knew you got the vaccine and you received this amount of money, what would you do? And I said, well, I'd be the first person in America to get a table dance at a strip club in probably 9 months. So, if I knew I was immune and had money in my pocket. I'm trying to put it back into society, you know, in a safe and healthy manner.
But, let the money circulate. Let it circulate.
Yeah, right. We've got to get this is a our economy is a circulating one. And so
how kind of you, Rob. How kind of you.
Well, you know, I'm looking out for the small business worker.
is that part of the Rob Mungall approach to the moral imperative of addressing social injustice through your action?
Yeah, I think so. I think actions in the streets.
And how does that tie into your moniker, the Reverend? How did that come about? And how does Reverend? That kind of dovetail with,
Well, I'm a legal Reverend. I'm the only practicing atheist Reverend in the city of Houston, I think. But I am a legal Reverend, and I became a Reverend on a lark back in 1998, I think, when a friend of mine wanted to get married, and she didn't want to go through traditional methods. So I looked up a church on the internet, and I became a reverend licensed through them. So I'm a legal reverend, and I've done over 50 weddings.
Get out of here. That's
amazing. It's true.
Yeah.
I've even done 2 lesbian weddings, too. So I can even do those now.
Wow.
Because those are legal.
Yeah. Rob, your life is just so fascinating.
It's really not. It's really not, but I do things to amuse myself.
If my friends would ask me for sugar, I might get them sugar, but like becoming a minister is a bit, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind.
Well, I joined this one. It's one of those online churches you can do, and everybody it was more difficult back then to get a Blockbuster video card than it was to become a reverend to perform weddings. Literally. It took about 18 seconds to get licensed.
How funny.
And they send you this card and they send you all the paperwork and it tells you what you legally can and can't do in the state. And they give you all the rules. And one of them says is this under no circumstances allows you to form a circumcision.
No breasts.
Okay, that's no problem there. I will avoid this. And it's in big bold letters too. It's like this does not give you the right to chop off penises.
Those are the little asterisks at the bottom that you say, did this happen a lot and they had to add it to the thing? Like, was this after?
It's like when Michael Vick went to the prison, they actually had to put, I think it's like, did anybody see this coming? Did anybody? We got to put in dogfighting now? Dogfighting? We didn't have that? Okay, well, let's add it. Yeah, so they put that in there, and I've actually done over 50, and to my knowledge, I've only had 5 divorces of the 50 I've done.
That's
so
I tell everybody, success rate.
Yeah, I'm better than the Catholic Church, you know? So,
so
you should come with me. I'm like a rabbit's foot.
I have a friend who is the chaplain of the Montrose Beer and Gun Club, and I went to a wedding he was performing. He too is a special reverend, and Doc performed a wedding for some friends at Rockefeller's, and it was a great party, live music, beautiful ceremony, and all that. So what would be if you can?
You know, actually, when I was married. I was married one time. I got married at Rockefeller's years ago too. Yeah,
Small world. By Doc.
It was by the owner of a comedy club who also got the same reverendship that I did. Okay. So yeah.
So you're minister of the Church of the Blinding Light.
Right. Well, actually, you could create your own church underneath the auspices of this, and I became the head of the church, the Church of Johnny Cash of Latter-day Saints. Yeah, so there you go.
Okay.
But one of the weirdest one I ever did, this is true, I was hired by, as a publicity stunt for a Harley-Davidson dealership. They offered someone to get married. They had a prize where you could get married in the Harley-Davidson dealership for free. And I was the reverend, and some woman got it, and she requested that it would be in an Elvis outfit. So I said, if you buy the outfit, I'll do it. And so I had to dress up in the full Vegas Elvis outfit. I didn't have the beard back then, and a big pompadour wig with the cane and everything. And we go, and we do the whole spiel. And afterwards, I'm signing the paperwork, and I go to her, and she says, so is this legal? And I went, yeah, it's legal. Y'all are married. As soon as I turned in this paperwork, and there's an envelope you have to either present to the courthouse or you can mail it in. And I said, once I present this, it's all done and you'll get your final. And she goes, well, could you hold on to that for a couple of days? And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you and you put it in the mail whenever you're ready. You know? So I don't know whatever happened to that one.
That could throw your percentage off.
Yeah. That one might still be up in the air. I don't know.
So yeah, I recommend it. One of the things that you're part of for a while is the Whiskey Brothers podcast. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
I still am, actually. Yeah. And we're actually expanding it. We've done this now for 9 years.
Wow.
I think we were at when we were podcasting before podcasting was cool, baby. we were back when we did it, you know, with Telegraph. But we've done it for 9 years. We've just did our 860th episode.
Wow.
It's a biweekly podcast that comes out on Mondays and Tuesdays, Mondays and Thursdays, 30 minutes. Not safe for work at all. Don't play for your kids. But it's 4 comedians, 3 generally, and we usually have guests. And it's 3 comedians and the guests, and we will drink a bottle of whiskey and talk about the day's events. And we don't ever talk about anything that's in the news. That's one of the rules. We have 2 basic rules. We don't talk about anything that's in the news, and we don't talk about the craft of comedy. So it's a comedy podcast about events that doesn't discuss comedy or events.
It's about sports, weather.
No, it's about
cars.
It's about our lives and what we've encountered in it, and different stories that we find on the fringes of the internet. Because we discovered most comedy podcasts were comics talking about the Kardashians or whatever Trump was doing, or whatever the president was doing, and the popular hot topics like they'd discuss. And we said, we're not going to do that. And we also don't want to talk about comedy because nobody cares about oh, how did you get into comedy? You know, what were your, you know, that's all fine and good, but you can't make a long lasting. And so we just, we decided that we were going to be the only podcast that didn't discuss the day's events or comedy.
Wow.
And so that's where, and so we've done it for, we've done it for 9 years now. So
that's great.
Congrats.
That's we're planning to do something. We just got on, I don't know how this works. I am illiterate when it comes to technology. But we just got on the Twitch platform, whatever that work, whatever. And so now we do audio and video. We used to be just audio, but now we're an audio and video podcast.
Well, so how do you, 9 years down the road, maybe the rest of us will catch up with you on that side of the equation.
Yeah. Too. I don't know how any, it's all science fiction to me. I don't know how any of it works. You know, it's all wizardry.
How have you liked this evolution? This like tech evolution that you have to.
Yeah, well, to me, and that's what they people say. Like, you know, where do you see comedy going? It's like I just do jokes, man. you know, whatever.
Guy.
Yeah, I mean, I just the writing has not changed. The material, the topics change every now and then, but everything else just kind of flows into the system, however it's presented or however it is delivered, whatever delivery system it is irrelevant to me. I just do the writing and just point me in the direction of where the crowd is.
Mm-hmm. You're tuned to Open Journals in Exile edition of the October 12th special edition with Rob Mungall. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for your support. I'm Dwayne Bradley with Stephanie Coleman. So, Rob, do you think that we'll be able to reconnect with our sense of humor?
Well, hopefully.
Do you think we've disconnected with it and need to reconnect? I mean, and do you find that laughter actually is good medicine?
Well, for me, penicillin is the best medicine. But, you know, some people think that laughter is.
Yes.
But I don't know that it's everything's going to, there's going to be something funny everywhere all the time. People find humor in whatever they want. And I think it's just a matter of finding what you find silly and ridiculous and enjoying it. And so I know what I find funny and I know what I find humorous and that's what I try to do on stage.
Well, it's been a real pleasure having you on this special edition of Open Journal with us. And
well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on here. And if I may lend my 2 cents, please call in and make a donation and try to keep things like this, shows like this on the air, because it's alternative media that really drives the narrative and it provides an outlet for people who don't get a different kind of voice or a different kind of take. And I'm just happy to be a part of it. And if I can lend my voice to telling people to call in, yeah, you have it, a full-throated endorsement.
Thank you.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Mungall, the Reverend, the Whiskey Brother. Oh, and a quick question. Are there Whiskey Sisters?
We did have two, yes. what's funny is we toyed with having a whole other podcast of just the Whiskey Sisters. With just three women, and this is they all got in a fight in the first day and it never worked out. So the ladies auxiliary was no longer a project we wanted. They couldn't get along, and so that was abandoned a few years ago. But we have no problem having it's just it was four guys who got together, and so, you know, misogynist as it may be, we're the Whiskey Brothers, and that's how it was started. So there
that's
you go.
Funny.
Well, what's the best way for our listeners to keep in touch with Rob Mungall?
You can find our podcast, The Whiskey Brothers, at praisewhiskey.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter under The Whiskey Brothers. But praisewhiskey.com is the easiest way to get a hold of it. And it has different dates for all of our performances individually around the state and around the country. So praisewhiskey.com.
Praise like in hallelujah or praise?
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Yeah, praise whiskey. It was a reverent thing. Yeah. What are you going to do?
All right. Crazewhiskey.com, Rob Mungle. And thanks for the endorsement, and look forward to hearing you and maybe seeing you out and about in the hopefully distant future.
Indeed.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. You guys have a pleasant evening.
You too.
All right. Well, Stephanie, what do you got to say for yourself?
I was just so delighted to meet with Rob. I can't believe that we have hit our window on time, but you know, we are very grateful for, as he said, for the donations that allow us to have this alternative voice and this alternative conversation. You know, as we wrap up this wonderful edition, we do know that we have these great audios available on archive.kpft.org. And we do ask you, our listeners, to not only listen to it once, but listen to it again through our podcast, which is KPFT OJ. We are a dedicated all-volunteer production staff, including Rambling Rick Campbell, Susan Phillips, and Maverick. Our open journal theme music is provided by Kevin McLeod, and we hope that everyone will join us for Open Journal next time, and thank you again for your support.
Yeah, and I'm Dwayne Bradley, and it's not too late to get in a call, as Rob mentioned, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, JAM KPFT, Visa, Discover, American Express, MasterCard. Just give the folks a call. They can run you through the gift catalog, and you can come away with some nice, cool KPFT swag if you wish. But, you know, the best thing is to just do it from your heart, knowing that you're helping keep community radio alive. KPFT sure needs it, and we'd love it if you would support this program. And thanks to those of you who have and are. Again, 713-526-5738, or if you tuned in through the web, KPFT.org has a little red tab on the top, the donate button. Make sure to mark Open Journal as the show you'd like to dedicate that to. Mm-hmm. And thanks for sharing what you could. As always, we like to leave you with a thought for the week. This comes from the Dalai Lama, who said, "Never give up. No matter what is happening, no matter what is going on around you, never give up. Take care of each other."